Psalms 29 and verse number 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. And the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Heavenly Father, thank you for this psalm. So many of the psalms, Lord, so beautiful, so wonderful to read. Lord, they nourish our heart. They nourish our soul. And Lord, they remind us of so many important things. And so for a few minutes tonight, Lord, we want to do what the psalm tells us that we ought to do, what ought to happen. And we want to spend some time speaking of your glory. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would just develop this discipline in our life and habit of our life. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good. You may be seated. I asked Brother Nathan to sing as the last congregational song, a Fanny Crosby song. Boy, I'll tell you what. You talk about God using a lady to provide us some of the most beautiful hymns to sing. And I think though she was blind, I think she saw some things more clearly than maybe any of us will ever see. And to God be the glory, great things he hath done. This morning I was expecting rain, I'll be honest with you. Say, did you pray that there would be no rain? Yeah, oh ye of little faith. I think sometimes I pray and I say, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And But I fretted. I was telling Brother Jeff Scales this. I said, I spent half the week looking at the forecast, fretting over something that God already had under control. And I don't know if you feel that way sometime, but finally I saw the forecast shift, and I said, well, it's going to rain during bus pickup and during Sunday school, but maybe it'll clear all out of here. And, you know, I'm putting more faith in the forecast than I am God. I'm just come up here to confess my sins for a while this evening, but... And then I'm standing out there about 8 o'clock this morning, and then not a drop, not a cloud. And then about 8:30, the sun starts shining, and I just start glorifying God. I mean, maybe it was a small thing, but you know what? I think we ought to glorify God in the small things of life. And I thought to myself, well, boy, I'll tell you what, Lord, you know, why am I surprised anymore when you come through? And by the way, he'd have been just as good and just as great if it had poured all day long. But the little things that he does for us, folks, here's what the psalmist said. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. I love this next phrase in verse 2. Give unto the Lord, how about this? The glory due unto his name. And then down in verse number 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And I thought, folks, this is the way that God intended it to be in the Old Testament temple. It says, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. And I thought, boy, that'd be a great goal to set for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. What if every single time we assembled, you know what? Every one of us would at least spend at least one or two or three sentences just talking about God and glorifying God and giving him unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. You know, God gave us such a wonderful Sunday. And I want to say to God be the glory, great things he hath done. You know, the 16 people that were saved on the the property today. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. 8 people that were saved on visitation. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. And every one of you that got to invite, and you see the realization of your labor, and God blessed it. And I saw smiling faces. You usually can tell the people that have a visitor with them, because I don't know what it is, but you know how it is. When a visitor finally comes and they're sitting with you, and you've invited them and prayed that they come, and they do, you know, it's just like you can tell those members, because there's just this, they're looking up and they got this smile on their face. And I thought, to God be the glory. You know what? Great things he hath done. I decided that to prepare my heart tonight that I would just, you know, and I do. I use a computer program sometime when I'm searching subjects or I'll do a word study or sometimes a phrase study. And I just typed this in. I just typed in this phrase, the glory of God, the glory of God. And 17 verses popped up. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not going to preach on all 17 of them. I know some of you were hoping. Please give us a 17-point outline. And I'm not going to do that. But I am going to have you listen to all 17 verses. I read them and they blessed my heart. Think about this as we talk about the glory of God. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. How about Psalms 19:1? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. I think we'll talk about that verse a bit. John 11:4. When Jesus heard that, He said, and this is talking about Lazarus, John 11, 2 different times in John 11, we see the glory of God. Lazarus was sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And then later on in the chapter, verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Acts 7:55. Boy, in the book of Acts, they saw a lot of things to glorify God about. And in verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, think about this, Brother Stephen, you think about it, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And I think he saw the glory of God in a way none of us have seen it yet. But if you're saved, all of us will one day see it. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All I can say about that is, oh me, but yes, it's true. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoiceth in hope of the glory of God. Romans 15:7, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, what a challenge. Listen to this verse. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 11:7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. You talk about great verses. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So how about Philippians 2:11, talking about Jesus, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then 3 times in the Revelation, chapter 15, verse 8, in the temple, we're going to see all of this one of these days, and the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were fulfilled. Revelation 21:11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, talking about that New Jerusalem. How about Revelation 21, verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I'm going to take just a handful of these verses tonight, and I want to remind us about the glory of God a little bit. Let me start with the very first one, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. During the creation week, now think about what our Creator did. When God spoke into existence the heavens above us, he did so in spectacular fashion, so that any man who took the time to look up would be reminded of God's glory. He scattered the stars across the vast expanse of darkness for the purpose of declaring the glory of God. Think about those stars. They twinkle a message in secret divine Morse code that spells out the wonders of their Creator. The sun declares the glory of God as it runs its daily course. Its brightness squints our eyes and yet dims in comparison to the brightness of the glory of God. The moon goes from full to empty, a slice at a time, and then methodically reappears in reverse order to testify of the handiwork of its Creator. The endless mysteries and vast expanse of the galaxies declare the glory of a Creator whose power is immeasurable and whose wisdom is unsearchable. If you go out late on a dark, moonless night and listen carefully, you can hear, the Bible says they do, you might hear the stars testify to you of the glory of the one who calls them all by name. The galaxies seem to expand into infinity and yet are held within the hand of our Creator. The first verse of the 17 verses that contain the phrase, the glory of God, taught me this. And as I stood out at the end of the ramp at about 8:30 and wiped a few tears and looked up at the sun, you know, I was reminded that God uses his creation to proclaim his glory. It was like he said loud and clear to this preacher this morning, hey, I got this. Hey, you know what? I'm still God. Hey, I dictate all things. Hey, I heard your prayer last Monday. You could have stopped worrying at that point. But I wanted to just stand down there and spend a little time giving God his glory. Second verse of the 17 verses was penned by Solomon. And who, by the way, God granted something that he's never offered to another man. Think about this. He said, you asked for it and I'll give it to you. Whatever it is, you ask for it, and I'll give it to you. And you know what? Solomon asked for a special divine baptism of divine wisdom. And he wrote this in Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Now think about that. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Now think about this. What does that even mean, preacher? Solomon wrote this verse as a personal testimony. If you read Ecclesiastes, it's amazing how much of his life he spent trying to search out the things that I believe that God has chosen to conceal. By the way, he's not the only one that's done that. Millions of men have repeated this doomed endeavor. They've focused their human intellect and reasoning. They have run their scientific experiments. They've built their exploratory machines. They have computed and calculated and speculated and hypothesized, trying to understand a world that God spoke into existence in just 6 days. They've dug into the earth beneath, dived into the depths of the seas, climbed the mountain peaks, peered through telescopes at the endless skies above, and then scratched their heads at the handful of facts they could gather. And God in his glory, I believe, smiles below at their efforts. You see, folks, an ant has a better chance of understanding calculus than a man has in searching out the glory of God. A snail has a better chance of compassing the world in 80 days than a man has in grasping God's wonders in 80 lifetimes. A hummingbird has a better chance of emptying the Atlantic Ocean into the Pacific Ocean one beaker at a time than a man has in mining the depths of the knowledge and wisdom of the only one worthy of this title, Almighty God. Hey, why don't we stop trying to figure it out and just glorify God? Romans chapter 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? In Isaiah 55, verse 6, I love this portion of scripture. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that portion of scripture says, why don't you just seek the Lord? Instead of trying to figure out everything that he's done and how he did it and why he did it, why don't we just seek the one who did it? Why don't we just seek the Lord? You see, it is the glory of God to conceal some things. And it is the foolishness of men to refuse to accept these things simply by faith. And you know, God watches men huddled together, come on, in united intellect to try to piece together some alternative theory to the origin of the worlds and the mysteries and wonders that surround them, when they could just believe the first 10 words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did God do this? How God did this? Listen, we can never comprehend why he did this. We will never completely understand. We're not intended to, nor do we have the intellect or understanding to search out that which God has concealed. Why don't we just get back to childlike faith? Why don't we just say, you know what? Let's worry about finding the one who did it instead of trying to figure out all that he did. Hebrews 11, 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Say, what does that last phrase mean? It means there was nothing that he spoke, then there was something. How about that? Yet unbelieving man in his unyielding pride, come on, refuses to simply accept this. They could join the just and live by faith, but instead they search for the unsearchable. They could accept that which may be known of only of God. After all, it is manifest in them. God has showed it unto them. But instead, I think about this. Man is still busy. They're all over the internet. They've created a thousand, a time 10,000 websites. And you know, if they just simply decide to believe what the Bible says by faith, and they instead insist on holding the truth in unrighteousness. They could observe the invisible things of God by accepting the testimony of the creation of the world around them. After all, God is clearly seen in his creation, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we're without excuse. But then they would have to glorify him as God and be thankful to him. And isn't it sad that so many men today just refuse to do that? So what does foolish men spend their time doing instead of just glorifying God? Hey, why don't we just glorify God? You know, let's just bring glory to God. But instead, foolish men become vain. This is what Romans 1 teaches us. They become vain in their imaginations, whereby darkening their foolish hearts, they profess themselves to be wise while they play the fool. They attempt to change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man, birds, beasts, and creeping things. Instead of believing in God by faith and being thankful for him, foolish men change the truth of God into a lie. They choose to worship and serve the creation rather than the creator. Listen, I can't stop the world and their foolishness. I guess I'm just saying, why don't we do what we read about in Psalms 29? And when we come into our temple, when we come to our assembly, let's just glorify the Lord. You think about that. Let's just, why don't everyone speak of his glory? And so in this second mention of the word, the glory of God, we're reminded, folks, that there's some things that we're never going to understand. There's some things that we're never going to comprehend. But you know what? We can glorify the one who does understand and who does comprehend. And so think about that. You know, God's glory is in his power over death. I mentioned this when I read those verses. I'm going to jump down into the New Testament now. Twice in the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. By the way, God's glory is in his power over death. Didn't we just celebrate that this morning? God's glory is in his power over death. John 11:4, when Jesus heard that, he heard that Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And then later on, John 11:40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And I guess on Easter Sunday, it's good that we just remind ourselves of this. You know, Jesus defeated that last enemy, which was death. And you know what? When he appeared, come on, in Revelation chapter 1, he had two keys. When John the Revelator saw him, he had two keys hanging from his belt. It was the key to hell and the key to death. And there's no reason, if you're saved, to fear death or to fear hell. You know why? Because I know the one who has the keys. That's pretty good right there. But this story in John 11 reminds me to give God the glory due his name, even during the times in my life when I do not understand what he's doing. He had to say to these two sisters, he said, listen, if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. They didn't understand what was happening. They didn't understand that once Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, why he tarried several days. They didn't understand why he didn't come and heal their brother. And they were in mourning. They were weeping. They were broken. But you know what, folks? Sometimes God allows situations into all of our lives that we may not initially understand. But he's doing it so that he can bring glory to his name. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus did not leave immediately. Jesus could have been there before he died and could have prevented his death, but he chose not to. Jesus was more interested, watch this, in bringing maximum glory to God than he was fulfilling the wants and wishes of men. Boy, we ought to just sign up for that, folks. I hope that you heard that. Jesus is more interested in bringing maximum glory to God than he is fulfilling the wants and wishes of any of us. So you know what? Two sisters wept and worried and watched, and then their brother died. But then Jesus came. But then Jesus came. But then Jesus came. And because, by the way, if he hadn't tarried, we wouldn't have this story. If he hadn't tarried, we wouldn't have these verses. Can I read them to you? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We wouldn't have those verses if he had done what they wanted. He's more worried about bringing maximum glory to God than he is satisfying the wants and wishes of men. John 11:40, we wouldn't have this verse. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. We wouldn't have these verses. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith to him, loose him and let him go. We wouldn't have this story. In the very next chapter, we see that a lot of Jews come to visit, not because Jesus is there, but because of the miracle of Lazarus. So they come to see Lazarus, but they really did not know that they had come to bring even more glory to God, because many of them believed because of the miracle of Lazarus. What are you saying? I'm saying this. I don't know what you're going through. And you know what? I promise you this. There's a lot of things God's going to ask us to face in life. And it may not make a lot of sense to us at the time. And I'm going to just be honest with you. Sometimes it may seem unfair. And it may seem that God's not hearing our prayers. But wait a minute. Don't you think God knows how to take every situation? And if we'll let him, can't he bring glory out of it for himself? So think about that. Jesus, God the Son, stood in front of a tomb and called out to a dead man, and Lazarus walked out of the tomb. That wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened if Jesus had done what they wanted him to do. One old evangelist said, had Jesus simply said, come forth, instead of Lazarus, come forth, every grave in the cemetery would have opened and everyone that was once dead would have walked forth. He had to be very specific. Lazarus, come forth. When things are not going well, listen, folks, let's give God the glory due his name. When things seem to be falling apart, let's give God the glory due his name. When we don't understand what he's doing or why he would allow something, let's still give God the glory due his name. Learn to glorify God. Oh, great lesson for us, folks, for this week. Let's learn to glorify God on the mountaintop, but I believe more importantly, let's learn to glorify God in the valley, the valleys of our life. The last thing I want to bring to your attention is this. The glory of God will one day be unveiled when we stand in his presence. Remember what I read about Brother Stephen? You know what? God, just before he died, decided he would just take the heavens and roll them back like a scroll and let Stephen, faithful Stephen, see past the visible creation into the invisible creation. But he, speaking of Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And folks, listen to me. We've seen it in our own family. Some of you have seen similar things. But sometimes as somebody is nearing the crossing of Jordan, and they're nearing that time where their soul is going to leave their body, and the angels are filling the room, come on now, and they're getting ready to escort that sweet, so precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They're getting ready to escort that sweet soul into heaven. You know, I remember Mom, who cared for my Grandma Ogle for so many years and took care of her right there in her house. And I mean year after year, cared for her. And then when she got bedfast, still cared for her. And, you know, I think, my dad used to say, I think one of God's rewards to my mom was she was there when my Grandma Ogle took her last breath. And Grandma Ogle at that point had pulled into a fetal position. She hadn't had the strength to lift her head. But just before she took her last breath, she got up on one elbow, looked straight up, reached up like this a couple times, laid back down, took her last breath, and went to heaven. And I don't know what she saw, but I think she might have saw something like Stephen saw here. Listen, folks, the glory of God will one day be unveiled when we stand in his presence. Revelation, we read about the glory of God. The glory of God that's going to be revealed to us one day when we stand in his presence. The glory of God that's going to be revealed when he sends down that new Jerusalem. Folks, that one of these days, God's going to allow the earth to be burnt with a fervent heat. He's going to wipe the slate clean and start this thing over with a new heaven and a new earth. And there'll be no more sin cursed. Think about this. And I was amazed, and I always am this time of year, at just the beauty of springtime and the beauty of the creation of God. While I was driving in, I thought, you know what? This is beautiful, and it's under the sin curse. You imagine one of these days when we get to see heaven, we get to see that new Jerusalem, we get to see the remade earth and the sin curse. Listen, all of it will be like Eden. It'll be the most amazing thing you've ever seen in your life. And you know what? I think for millions and billions and trillions of years stretching off into eternity everlasting, we're going to bring glory to God and honor to God. Hey, why don't we just get an early start? Why don't we just do it this week? Why don't we just every day purposely say, God, I'm going to find a way to bring glory to your name today. You know, I'm going to speak your name to someone today. I'm going to tell somebody this week what a wonderful God I serve. What a wonderful Savior that I have. I'm going to brag on God this week. I'm just going to stop people whether they want to hear it or not and just tell them how good my God is. Folks, listen to me. Let's make sure that we're giving God the glory that is due his name. You say, preacher, why this sermon on this Sunday night? Well, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's something to glorify God about. On this Easter Sunday, you know what? We got to see some wonderful things happen here. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. You know, folks, glory to God. Let's just say it all the time. Glory to God for every soul that's ever been saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Glory to God for every building that's ever been built here. Glory to God for every Christian who's grown in grace. Glory to God for every broken heart that's been healed. Glory to God for every miracle that's occurred. Glory to God for every child who's received Jesus as their Savior. Glory to God for our Sunday school ministry. And glory to God for blessing our visitation and our soul winning. Glory to God for the money raised for our worldwide missions program. And glory to God for the salvations that have occurred around the globe because of the missionaries we're blessed to support. Glory to God for every note played on a piano and every song sung, for a special song sung. Wasn't those girls a blessing to us tonight? Wasn't that good? And for every congregational song that is sung, for all God has done here, let's all participate in the process. Let's spend time making sure that we're bringing glory to the one who deserves that. And by the way, I just decided this week, I'm going to go ahead and start glorifying God for what's going to happen next Sunday. And then when I get done with next Sunday, I'm going to start glorifying God for what's going to happen the next Sunday. Hey, it's a great thing to be involved in this. I mean, he lets us have a part of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, come on. We all got to just step back and say, whoo. None of this would happen without Jesus. None of this would have happened without our wonderful Heavenly Father. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I pray tonight this message brought glory to your name. Thank you for all that was done this week. I hope it brought glory to your name. I know that there's excitement in heaven. We have King James Holy Bible on that, and rejoicing in the presence of God, in the presence of the angels over one soul that's saved. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would continue to bless us. And I think maybe the best way we can ensure that continues to happen is to take our cues from Psalms 29. Let's give you always, Lord, the glory that's due your name. And when we gather here in our gathering place, in our sanctuary, I pray, Lord, that everyone would speak of the glory of God. Lord, you're so good. It's something, the way you have to remind me. And Lord, sometimes I feel so frail and so foolish for not having more faith. But Lord, just standing out in the parking lot watching the sun come out this morning, I just thought to myself, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Now that was before a bus rolled in. That's before any of the Sunday school classes were taught. That was before anybody stood with an open Bible and preached in one of our churches. And that was before anyone prayed the sinner's prayer, put their faith and trust in Jesus. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, we just get ahead of it. We just decide that we're going to go ahead in anticipation of every great thing that you're going to do. We'll just go ahead, not only to give you glory for what you have done, but Lord, even now to begin to give you glory for the things you are yet to do. And again, Lord, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to just be included in this, just to have a front row seat to be able to see the miracles of God. And so, Jesus, I pray that you'd bless the invitation even now in Jesus' name.